Hey, and welcome to Kiss the Crest, a weekly podcast where we talk about football scores, football transfers, football news, football sports drinks. Football sports drinks. I love sports drinks. Just everything football, whatever we can talk about. This is the week of October 4th. I'm your host, Sean Thomas.
I'm Dave Lanata.
I'm Rob Stoller.
And as usual, this week we're going to start with the scores, go over the weekend. We had matches all across Europe. And then today we're only going to have one topic. We're going to talk about Mourinho and his legacy and how it's changing. Is a three-year curse a real thing? And how his experience at Chelsea right now is affecting his overall legacy. So let's get into it. Let's start with the scores.
All right, so let's start with the Serie A of Italy. So we had no big upsets, I guess. There were a lot of...
For the first time.
Yeah. So interestingly enough, though, Juventus went a goal down to Bologna and then had to come back, but ended up winning 3-1. So are they back on track? I don't know.
They're back.
Probably not. So Roma got a big 4-2 win over Palermo. Inter, actually, I guess that's not an upset, but they were held by Sampdoria 1-1. Lazio got a win over Frosinone. Udinese and Genoa played to a 1-1 draw. And Fiorentina got a big result over Atalanta. And that was it. That's it. No other games.
nothing else. Napoli didn't play.
I don't want to go into this too deeply because it's not really an upset. Milan's doing terribly. Their defense completely fell apart. We didn't get a red card, so that was good.
I mean, you should say the score. Sorry.
Do I have to say the score, Sean? All right. So Napoli ended up winning 4-0 at the San Siro. It was a disaster. We don't need to dwell on this, so let's keep going. We'll look at the table.
But Inter being held is big. I mean, two weeks in a row.
So this puts Fiorentina up top now with 18 points. Inter is now 2 points behind them. Lazio with 15, Roma with 14, Torino 13, Napoli 12. And that runs out to 6. So you're starting to see some of the bigger teams up top and some of the other teams falling behind. The Juventus win puts them at 12th place with 8 points. Milan is -5 goal differential. Nice. With 9 points.
Well, a lot of it was this game, to be fair. So,
I mean, it's no excuse, Sean. It's no excuse, really. It's a disaster. We don't have to talk about it. Oh, but I will say, I did go on a Twitter rant after this game, and Inzaghi actually had more points and a better standing. We were fourth place after this round last year with Inzaghi, and with one more win than we have now. Granted, we played slightly different teams, so we have played a lot of the bigger teams already.
So,
this season,
I mean,
but
when judging a coach, in my opinion, you always, even though it's still away fixtures are different, you always got to wait till the half because you really don't know who you play at the beginning and also how your team evolves and stuff like that. So it's still too early. I also think point totals are important, but, and Dave, I know you understand this completely. Point totals are important, but also the feel of the team is just as important. And I think there's a lot of criticism of Louis van Gaal at the beginning because he had the same points as Moyes. But I guess with Moyes, it felt like the team just didn't gel and there were locker room issues.
Well, so this is what I liked about Inzaghi, though, is that it felt like the team was rallying behind him, right? And now
he's from the club. He's
right.
A man
and we've spent, close to $100 million over the summer on new players. We have a new team. We talked about this. And Mihailovic doesn't seem to have the control that he needs. I will say Balotelli does look a lot better, although he was sick or injured or something like that, so he didn't play this game, which was a big difference. I'm not trying to say it. We talked about this. It's interesting that he's the creative spark of the team, right? Because he's never been that role.
So but you bought, I mean, like, Carlos Bacca did really well in La Liga last year. Yeah. He wasn't top scorer because obviously you're never going to rest it from Messi and Ronaldo, but he was scoring like mad. So I don't actually know why that's not.
But I mean, the games that Balotelli played, we looked a lot better. We were creating more chances, more creative chances. And the first game he's out, we were missing that. So, it's hard to say that he hasn't been a catalyst for this side. And, there's already rumors that Milan is looking at a new coach, looking at Lippi, which would be an interesting...
I mean, what do you think? Would you agree with that?
I think
say it's halfway through the season?
Lippi.
If we're at this point... Welcome back, Dave. If we're at this point halfway through the season, we're still in the bottom half of the table, I think that's it's got to be a change.
I mean,
we already had... There was reports that Honda came out. Mihailovic has been really critical of the team and the work ethic. And obviously, I'm not there, so I can't say whether or not that's true. But Honda came out, who has been benched recently, even though he has been in pretty good form in the start of the season, came out and was very critical of that response that Mia put out.
Really?
And was basically saying, like, you know, you can't just blame the players. It's a lot of the politics in the back room that's affecting the entire feel of the club. So that speaks to your point.
Why don't they get that together? It's just like, I mean,
just fold and just, you know, just don't have a team anymore.
It's, I mean, I know politics is always there, especially with a club like Milan, but when you've had this,
when Berlusconi is your owner, it's kind of hard to not have politics.
How old is he now?
Berlusconi? Yeah. God, like 78.
Oh, okay, okay.
I mean, they could just fix it with...
He looks like he's 45. Like, this guy's ridiculous.
If they just had a good old bunga bunga party, I think they could solve all of this and they would be good.
It's crazy.
But whatever. I mean, I guess, you know, not to dwell on that much, but...
Yeah, we said we weren't going to talk about this.
It's interesting, though. You are seeing us split up. And it's really interesting to see Roma and Juve not doing as well as you'd expect and Inter doing better than you expect. And Fiorentina,
Roma's coming back. I mean, Roma's only 4 points out now.
Oh, okay.
So they're in fourth. They've come back. They only have one loss.
Still, I thought in Juve's absence, I thought they would take the reins.
And that's what everyone thought. That's what everyone thought. Inter stepped up. Fiorentina is had a phenomenal start to the season, so... And I mean, Fiorentina, just to put this in perspective, has a plus 10 goal differential, which in Serie A right now is pretty significant.
And I will say, like, not to keep going on, but to be fair, I don't know why Napoli doesn't do as well as they... Like, they have a strong striking core. I don't know why they aren't scoring more goals more often.
Thanks, Sean.
But you know what I mean? Like,
they don't play against crap defenses.
But no. But you know what I mean? Like, consistently, they haven't done that well overall, or as well as you would expect them to do.
All right, so now that you've got me talking about this... Miha just didn't make the changes when he needed to, right? So we went 2-0 down, and we had Poli on the bench. Honda, there was rumors that he was sick, but he was still on the bench. So if he's on the bench, he's got to be playable, right?
Yeah, but their bench is like 20 deep.
Yeah, we have a larger substitution list. But still, I mean, if you have players on the bench, then that means you should be able to play,
sometimes,
right? My whole point is we got to about 60, 65 minutes into the game. We're 2-0 down, and... Miha just didn't make changes. Like, I was waiting for the change. Like, that's when you want to make one or two positive subs. You want to get attacking midfielders on there. You get Poli on there. He made that change later on. What are you going to say?
Maybe you can recall Bonera and bring him back.
yeah, exactly. So, you know, we had, like, Cherchi came on late. I think he came on. Maybe he didn't even come on. But, you know, my point is when you're 2-0 down, 3-0 down, and you're not making substitutions, you know, what are you expecting from your team at that point?
Yeah.
So... I don't know.
Fine. You just don't have the squad right now. I think that's the main
thing. We do. We do, though. That's the thing. Like, we had a few injuries.
I mean, you have some players.
Romagnoli getting that stupid freaking red card last week hurt us this week. But it's just like,
but
we don't have a bad roster.
Well, that's the thing. I think most of the top clubs have deep, deep benches, and their starting lineups are like, stacked. Like, when you see their guys. Milan now, they're getting guys from, like, Genoa, from, like, other Italian clubs that aren't world-class.
But they bought some decent players.
Dude, they have, like, Kukos. Freaking like starting every game. He's good, but he's not.
Kuchka doesn't play well.
He's not world
class. What pisses me off is that De Jong was on the bench for the second consecutive game.
Well, so that gets into it. I think one thing that's also missing is that leadership, that central core, and De Jong is an experienced player. I don't know how much of a leader he is, but you also have to have people that...
When you start Adriano for another consecutive game, and he has yet to score a goal, not only that, but he's had like four or five breakaways and have not finished. And when you're playing that player over somebody like Honda, who had a good start to the season and had decent spells last season, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't
make
sense.
Fire
them all. Let me coach. Let me coach that team. We can see. I don't know.
Okay.
I told you not to get me started on this, Sean.
Okay. That is Italy for today. So we're going to move on to...
Thank God for the international break. I need a week off. Like, I can't deal with this anymore. I get hopeful every week.
They'll
and then
get
we
hurt
forever.
On the Italian national team.
Oh, my God.
So we're going to move
I don't think
over
any of our players on the international team. No. They're all... Conte's been at, like, the last three of our games. He's like, nope, Milan's out. No, we're not taking any Milan players anymore.
Okay, let's...
But that's all I need to say about that.
Let's move over to Germany, where all the games were completely even. No hearts were broken at all. So the main game we're going to talk about, it's the main race is Dortmund versus Munich, and this was the big game leading up to it. This was the matchup.
I was excited. I was very excited.
I think
let me just say, there were three, I think, big games this weekend, all of which should have been a lot closer than I think they ended up playing out to be.
Yeah. Well, one of them.
Well, Spain, no. I guess, wasn't. But
which, if you keep listening, we'll get into.
Yeah, but, sorry. I need to stop interrupting.
So in Munich, it started out.
You made me so angry, Sean.
The first half, it wasn't that bad. I believe at the end of the half, it was 2-1. I think Muller had a goal. I want to say Lewandowski, but I might be wrong. And Aubameyang was scored. And so it felt like it was kind of even. Maybe this is okay. And then Munich got their scoring boots on like they always do. And it ended up being a 5-1 thrashing. And it wasn't just 5-1 like...
No, it was a training match.
They were in the box. They had it in the box at any point. And the thing is, I go back to the depth of Munich's roster. Ribéry is not on. Götze, he played. I think he got a goal. But like he doesn't start. I mean, they have so many people that they can just pull from. It is absolutely absurd. I don't know. I don't think who is one of their main defenders isn't playing. They have so many players. It's absolutely absurd. If they don't get to the finals in Champions League, honestly, I don't even know.
We say this every year, though.
Yeah, we do say this every year. But I don't know. And Lewandowski's on fire. Muller, like, his first goal was absurd. Like, he just pulled it down. He just went around the keeper. Everybody they have, Douglas Costa has just been playing like mad.
They've scored
like mad.
They've
mad
scored Max. At least 3 goals in the last 7-8 matches. 3 of and they don't 3 give of up the goals. Last 4.
They don't give
up. Yeah, 3 of the last 4 matches they've scored 5 goals.
Dortmund has been stuttering a bit lately, but in general they score a ton of goals. They could only muster 1 goal. And it was a good setup, like it was cross in and open net, but it doesn't matter. Like, Munich is unstoppable right now. They're clearly the best team in the world right now, without a doubt. And we'll see how well they do in champs. The unfortunate thing is, I mean, I hope Dortmund would put up more of a fight. I mean, they've been stuttering also versus other teams, so they're moving back.
It's interesting because almost all of the goals, 4 out of 5 of the goals came from around the PK spot. All just balls, the crosses in that got around the defense. Guys that, you know, the defense didn't show up.
It was, and they have a decent defense, but
their defense made Milan's defense look okay. I'll put it that way.
But the question is, you know, everybody said,
but I'm done on that subject.
Everybody said the league, Bundesliga, was over before it started. And yeah, I was thinking, like, Dortmund now. With the start, I was like, Dortmund is going to put up. And now it kind of feels like, no. I mean, this is just,
I don't think so.
And I know, you know, winning a league is a lot about depth because you have to deal with injuries and things like that.
They have the deepest roster in Europe.
But like Xabi Alonso wasn't, I don't think he played. It was like,
so let's just stop talking about the German league for a while.
I mean, the only reason why I want to talk about it is because they still play really good football. Like, I think Dortmund is still a really solid team. That's are they not in Champions League because they did so poorly last year?
Yeah, I don't think they are.
Yeah, they're not in Champions League. Now I think they're in Europa. So, and they drew last time, but they should be doing pretty well. Like, either way, I want to watch them. Like, they're so fun.
They were playing. They had some good wins.
And I think they'll come back. I think they're still a solid team, but it's disappointing that Munich
and stay in second place.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Munich is just too powerful. I mean, as we say every year, their metric of success is Champs League because I honestly, though, like I said before, okay, losing, I understand. The 2 times they lost to the Madrid team that won Champions League. They lost to us who won Champions League. Whatever, you lose to a decent team. But it's how they lost. They didn't score a single goal versus Madrid. I'm pretty sure it was 7-0 over the 2 legs. Versus us, we destroyed them in the first leg. We started out really well in the second leg. Yeah, they got a couple goals back, but it was always us on the front foot. I don't know how they did so poorly, especially because Pep clearly has experience in Champions League. So, I mean, we'll see, but unfortunately, there's really not much to talk about in the Bundesliga anymore.
There's not much to talk about the French league either, Sean.
We'll get into that in a second. But moving over to Spain, there were a couple interesting results. So all of the top teams, or none of the top teams, won. So Barca lost to Seville 2-1.
Can't do it without Messi.
I know, and it doesn't make any sense. I mean, we have Neymar and Suarez, arguably two of the best strikers in the world, yet somehow we can't muster a win. I mean, we scored off a PK that Neymar scored. I mean, our defense is looking shaky. I mean, some of it's rotations, but some of it, I don't know. Like, we didn't look terrible. We hit the post a lot, but still, it doesn't matter. We still lost to Seville. Like, it's ridiculous, but we really need to pick it up. Luckily, everybody else had problems too. So Villarreal is still in first, but they drew as well. Or sorry, they lost. I think Las Palmas. I believe they lost to not a great team, so that was not a good game for them. But the big match, the only important match, was Real Madrid versus Atletico Madrid. It ended up being a 1-1 draw, which is big for the title race because, for some reason, Madrid cannot beat Atleti. They dominated for Atleti for decades, and now it's like 7 or 10 matches they haven't been able to beat. They either draw or they lose to Atleti. The crazier thing was how Madrid played. So they scored early on. They were just a barrage of shots, and Benzema scored a great header. It was a good cross in from, I want to say Modric, but I could be wrong. Either way, they scored early on. You're like, this is going to be domination. They sat back. They immediately started sitting back. Yeah. Atleti had all the possession. They had all the ball. They had all the chances. Atleti, without a doubt, deserved a point, maybe the win. Like, they looked great. They had a lot of really good chances that they messed up. They got a PK early on that Griezmann took, and Keylor Navas saved. Yeah. Navas has been their savior. A lot of people were saying, we need De Gea. And don't get me wrong, De Gea is one of the best in the world. But Navas has really stepped up, and he's become a fan favorite, because a lot of people were saying he should have stepped in for Casillas last year, but he didn't. And now he's just been saving goals left and right. But the thing is, the bigger thing is, and this is a Benitez team, I feel like, they sat back. Madrid, it's weird because this is a Benitez team, but Madrid is not a team that sits back, especially when you've got freaking Bale, Benzema, and Ronaldo.
No, and I think the fans respond poorly to whenever they are not playing all-out attack.
And I'm not saying this just because I'm a Barca fan. Madrid fans are harsh. If you're not winning, they have jeered so many of their players. Like, they will whistle their own players, which I think is terrible, unless it's really, really warranted. But they're serious. And
not to bring it back to Milan, but that's like every game for us. So
yeah, and I understand, like, when you're on a downturn, it's a little bit different. But last year, there were some games where they whistled. It's like, this is when you need to support your team. But anyway, they're fickle because they win so much that they can, you know, handle that. And anyway, my point is, this was a Benitez team. If I were a Madrid fan, I would not be happy. The other weird caveat is Ronaldo still hasn't scored. He scored 5 goals this season, and he scored 2 in Champs League. But, I mean, 7 goals for any player, like, this is ridiculous. But the thing is, all 5 goals were in one game, and the 2 goals were in another game. It's really weird, more so that he's had a lot of chances.
Yeah.
And he hasn't scored them. He hasn't taken them, and I don't know what's going on with him. I mean, knowing him, he'll just start scoring again randomly, and it'll be all good again. I mean, he's so good at what he does.
Now that Messi's injured, he's like, I don't need to score. Yeah, right now. I'll just come back later. Yeah.
I mean, knowing Ronaldo, he will start scoring. He knows, like, that 5-goal domination that's how he plays. But anyway, I would be a little bit worried, but knowing Ronaldo, he'll just come back. But I would be more worried that they sat back and Atleti took this game to them. And Atleti, they look like the better team to me. I mean, Madrid had chances at the end because Atleti equalized in the 83rd minute. It was a scrappy goal. Jackson Martinez set it up, and I forgot who scored it. It wasn't one of their main strikers, I don't believe. But anyway, they scored it, they equalized, and then Madrid kind of went on the attack because they're freaking out. They've got 7 minutes to score a goal, but they couldn't. And, I mean, Oblak didn't have that much to do. It just really wasn't a good showing by Madrid. So, anyway, in the end, Villarreal is still on top. Barca is in fourth, I believe. So, Atleti is still pretty low because they had a draw and they had some bad results. Madrid, I believe, is in second. I have to double check. But the race is still on. I mean, I think it'll shake out. I think Madrid and Barca will come up top, but it's still kind of an open race. Celta de Vigo is, I believe, in third. So it's, I don't know, it's interesting to see. But these are results not totally expected. I really hope we can come back and start actually playing. But that's how it stands in La Liga. So let's move over to France.
Yeah, so like I said, France, not too much to talk about. Probably worse than German league right now. PSG ended up beating Marseille in the another bigger game, if you want to call
it. Sure, but it wasn't clear-cut, though.
It took
2 PKs and they came from behind in order to win. I will say the other significant piece of that, Ibrahimovic broke the PSG all-time scoring record.
Which is crazy.
He has two penalties.
So he has 110 goals in 133 appearances and only took him 3 seasons and 5 games, basically, or 7 games to do it. That's insane. Yeah. His strike rate is unbelievable.
He's one of those people.
He's not going back to Milan, Rob. Get over it.
It's weird.
I can dream, man. I can dream.
For as good as he is, I feel like we don't talk about him that much. It must be because he's at PSG, but I don't.
He's not at big clubs.
I guess, but
what do you mean? What? He's not at big clubs.
He's not at Man U. He's not at Barca. He's at
Inter, Barcelona, Milan, PSG.
The point is, Ibra, like, you know, we always talk about Aguero. We always talk about, you know, Messi.
He's not in England. That's all.
Yeah, pretty much.
But Ibra, I mean, people always say, oh, yeah, Ibra's scoring, but we don't talk about how ridiculous. This year, I think a little bit less than in past 2 years, considering his age, but he's like always on fire. It's ridiculous. So. Yeah.
He's got almost 350 goals in his career. Yeah,
it's insane. So, yeah, PSG, but he's never won Champions League. Yeah. I don't think, right? I don't believe he. That's the one thing he's won. Barca, he had won the league every time he had been on a team, every single year, even going back to his days in the Dutch league.
Yeah.
But he's never won Champions League. He wasn't at Inter. He wasn't at Barca when we won. He wasn't at PSG. Obviously, hasn't won. So those are the big. Teams. He wasn't at Milan when they won.
So you know, bigger game, Marseille. They haven't been playing that well. They were down by the middle of the bottom of the table. They lost again. So PSG is up at top as usual. They got 23 points, and the next closest team that I think has a chance of even challenging them is probably either Saint Etienne or Lyon, and they have 16 and 15 points. Yeah. They are 7 and 8 points behind.
Jeez.
Monaco had a nice draw this weekend. Monaco is down to 10th place. They are 10 points out of first place.
It's just, but I mean, honestly, so, PSG, their roster. Like, when you really talk about it, this is another thing. I feel like not enough. We all talk about them, I guess, because they don't go far enough in Champions League. That's why we don't talk about them that much. But their squad, like, there are some ridiculous players. I mean, Ibra, Cavani, Silva, I mean, Vieto. What's his name? There's the French midfielder who's really
Matuidi.
Good. Yeah, Matuidi.
I mean, their bench. They have Marquinhos.
Yeah, Marquinhos is
Pastore, Lucas Moura. Lavezzi is off the bench. Like, they have some younger guys, Rabiot. The one thing I will say, though, is their goalie. They had Sirigu, but he's actually not even the starter anymore. They have Kevin Trapp, who is a younger German goalie. And I think he's been playing pretty well, but that could come back. I mean, if that's the one weak spot, Kevin Trapp, that their goalie, I would say, is probably their weakest spot. But
which, by the way, what's with countries having good keepers? Spain has Reyna, Valdez, De Gea, and Casillas. Germany has Neuer, Ter Stegen, Trapp. U.S. has
Howard, Friedel.
Like, what's with these countries and having... England has a keeper. It's not Robert Green.
Yeah.
Anyway, keep going.
But so you know, French league's pretty much done with. It's going to be interesting to see how PSG does in the Champs League. So that's pretty much what they're going to be concentrating on, I think, now. And they have a deep enough squad where they could, you know, like we talked about last time, they could rest a few guys that they want to kind of keep in there. I mean, Lavezzi doesn't even start really anymore, so why not start him? Give him some time. Give one of their other guys, Cavani or Ibra a little bit of a break. But so that's really all to talk about in the French league.
You can't
league.
Give Ibra a break.
Ibra doesn't need a break.
No. Yeah, he doesn't.
Ibra would be he would kill people.
Just kidding. So that's all for the French league.
So, Premier League.
Yep. So we're going to go to the league that matters.
Yeah.
All right.
The league that loses every day.
The league that has the most popularity.
Yeah. Well, German is the most attended, I believe. But yeah.
Around
let's
these
be honest. Premier League has the most.
So there are a few big. There were a few big. Big games this weekend.
Were there, Dave? Did anything happen this weekend?
No, actually, there weren't too many big games. I mean, you know,
Milan
lost 4-0. Barca lost. I mean, there's really no other big games this weekend.
None at all.
Okay, so let's get into it.
Man, you had a bye.
So, do you want to get into that game?
Yeah, we could.
Yeah, let's just do it.
Let's do it.
Let's get it over with.
I'll chip in.
So
here
set
later
the
on.
Stage first. So, or maybe I will. I guess.
Yeah, Sean will set
so. Man U was in first, which no one really expected, but honestly, they had been consistently grinding out wins, pretty close wins, but you'd seen some positive aspects. You see Martial doing really well, Rooney's back, you know, you're seeing some positives, De Gea's there, and whenever you have De Gea, so you're seeing all these things. They're playing Arsenal. Arsenal is that team, you never know what they're going to do. Like, they were on the upswing, they lose to Chelsea 2-0. They're always that team, you never know what's going to come out of them, but they always have a solid squad. They had so many good players. So this was a really big matchup. So what happened?
So, Man U ended up winning.
Don't lie to listeners, Dave.
Well, if you don't know about the scoreline,
the game was over in 20 minutes.
Yeah, 20 minutes. I wouldn't, dude.
I mean, Dave it texted was over me. Dave texted me, it's over. And I'm like, shut up, that's stupid. And then I was like, yeah, it's over.
I mean, the way they came out, Arsenal came out ready to play, ready to score some goals, ready to defend, ready to just dominate and show people what they're capable of doing. That's pretty much what they did. I mean, they scored very early twice.
Alexis Sanchez. I mean,
beautiful goals, too.
I mean it's not just because I'm a Barca fan. Like, he's just absurd. He's really
I mean, they had a couple chances, and they ended up scoring. Man, you really didn't do too much. They had a few slight chances.
Check out some saves.
So if you look at the stats, though, it's actually somewhat in Man U's favor. I mean, both had five shots on goal. Arsenal had a few more shots. And Man U actually had 62%.
Possession. Yeah, possession was probably more towards the end. I mean, because Man U, they were letting Man U dink around, and they weren't doing anything. Yeah. They were just literally passing it back and forth, across, back to the goalie. It was like, oh my god!
But clearly, Arsenal was a better team that day.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, they're capable of doing this. The problem is they don't consistently do it.
That's their
huge issue.
Ozil did really well. He had a good goal, and he just played well. Ozil was really good at Madrid. He has been in and out at Arsenal. Like, some days you're like, this is who we spent whatever 40-50 million on. Some days he's just gone. Alexis Sanchez, I would say, is probably the most consistent of any of their players. Even though this year his star has been only okay, but past two games,
you think he has like six goals and assists combined or something. He had a hat trick, I think, and.
I mean, he's always been a good player. Let's be honest. So, and he's a workhorse. He can run and
So that was I thought it was a big surprise, I guess, because Man U was in first. I thought it'd be a closer game.
Yeah, the gap. It's the gap that was more surprising.
The weird thing about Arsenal is, like, if they played again this weekend, they could lose.
Right, they're going to draw or lose. It's just because, like, Arsenal. Think about how many times they could. I mean, this is the perfect time for them to win the league. I mean, City, I think, is coming back, so that's the scary part. But Chelsea is down. United, though, has done well. So, but if you can get past these kind of games, I mean, this is when they can take the title from City. And but they won't, because they never do.
So outside of that game, there are a few others. Chelsea lost again the day before against Southampton, who.
But they didn't just lose. 3-1.
They got beat pretty good. Southampton, very good game.
Yeah.
Chelsea did score first, I believe, though.
But they scored. Southampton scored
a bunch. Pele had a goal. Really nice finish.
Willian scored in the 10th.
Willian had another free kick. But outside of that.
That was a good free kick, too.
Outside of that, though, Southampton, I mean.
But free kicks are good. But when you're not getting any goals from open play, that says something. And come on.
Yeah.
Hazard, Fabregas, Matic, like this
at,
is
at the bridge
insane.
Too, which is the bigger
Pedro. Yeah. Like we keep saying this every week, and honestly, I feel like we're gonna say this next week. I don't even know who they're playing, but I feel like we're gonna say it again. You know, at some point we're like, they're gonna come back. It's Chelsea. They're gonna come back.
You've been
every
saying
week. Yeah, but every week it's like, no. I think I came off the bandwagon either last week or the week before, where I said, look, this is not. This is not a flash in the pan thing. This is clearly, this is how their team is. And also, and we're going to get into this later, but Mourinho, after the game, he was complaining about penalties, even though Mane had a bunch of penalty calls.
Oh, yeah. That
could
was...
We
should talk about officiating one of these weeks.
Yeah, we will. Gosh. But
Dave's dream to be an official.
Yeah.
Barclays
Premier League.
Oh, man.
But clearly this team, it's not falling apart. It has fallen apart.
Yeah.
This is insane. So I don't even want to talk about it anymore. But... speaking of teams falling apart, maybe we'll go to another. Sorry, we'll switch gears to a happy thing for some people. Man City scored 6 against Newcastle,
that was a row.
And they had to come back. Yeah. I guess
it was all
huge comeback.
The Aguero show.
Aguero, 5 goals, and he was kind of like he needed some goals.
He got them all. He got them all.
Five goals. I mean, 5 goals is a feat. That's Ronaldo level. Like that's for him to score that many is insane. And technically, I mean, Newcastle scored first. They opened up the scoring, and for them to come back. But I mean, Aguero, he might be my favorite player in the Premier League. Like, I've always liked him. Obviously, I don't know him, but he seems like a good guy, and he's a good player.
De Bruyne, man.
And Joe, talk about that goal.
Can we talk about
De Bruyne?
De Bruyne.
That was
De Bruyne.
That has to be one of the top 10 at the end of the season.
Shank shot.
I think that was absolutely intentional. Ball it's coming, a miss kick. Ball coming over the top. He's just outside of the six. Basically flicks it on with the outside of his right foot.
It doesn't look possible.
It lobs over the goalie. Like, no angle.
It should go into the stands.
It makes no sense.
If you just if you haven't seen it, please look it up.
Oh, no, it was a great ESPN. It was a great idea. He meant to shoot it, but he got either under it or just on top of it and just shanked it over him. I don't think he meant to just float it over his head like that. I think he meant to rip that.
I'll put it this way.
But it was beautiful.
You, Dave, you might be right, but I think De Bruyne has shown that he has a quality that it could have been on purpose. But either way,
the goals he's scored this year are.
I've seen
De Bruyne was a very good buy. I mean, people were all like, you always say, he's doing really well.
Yeah, man, you had some good goals this weekend, didn't they?
They had so many good goals. Three of them, actually.
But my point is, people always say, he was scoring a lot at Wolfsburg. Obviously, he's going to score a lot. But honestly, a lot of these players flop. A lot of players don't do well once they come to other clubs. There are a ton of players that don't do well. And De Bruyne has fit into the team really well. I think clearly Chelsea messed up. So we'll go to the other. So going from happy to sad again. Everton drew Liverpool. So
before we get into that, Swansea drew Tottenham 2-2. Okay, yep. It was a pretty good game. Yep. Kane's been playing a little bit better. He actually had an own goal in that game. I didn't see it, but
Kane, man.
He scored. I mean, that's all that matters. He got another one.
Yeah. Two goals in how many games?
Yeah, so Tottenham's been playing well, but they haven't really gotten a lot of points from their games. A lot of draws, I feel like.
They have four draws, yeah.
Yeah. But Sean, we're going to talk about the Everton-Liverpool game now because it ended up meaning something a little bit more.
Yeah. So
The Toffees.
The Kippers.
It was a scrappy goal, but Lukaku got his goal,
got
and he's had a good season this year. So I'm glad to see him back. But the Merseyside derby is always a big match. Like when you think about it, Liverpool's on decline. Everton's never been a huge club. It's still people get.
When's the last
for
time this happened where Everton was leading Liverpool? Has that happened?
Honestly, Everton's recently been doing okay. Last year, probably not, but I think the year before that, they may have been.
Honestly,
Liverpool has been off and on, and Everton had a really good year at Martinez's first year.
I'll put it this way. It's rare that
Goes into Liverpool is ahead of Liverpool. I like Everton. Liverpool's clearly the bigger club. But the big thing is, it was a 1-1 draw, disappointing for them. Like, they obviously want to win. Brendan Rodgers gets sacked.
Yes.
And people were always wondering, this is going to happen at some point.
It left Liverpool with 12 points, 3 wins, 3 draws,
after a draw.
2 defeats. Right, but they're sitting in 10th place.
I don't think it was the right time to do it now.
They're
not
the
in
thing.
A good spot.
Here's
but
the interesting thing. I think they did this having already approached
They had to have. If they have any intelligence at their club, when I say intelligence, like they're smart at all, they had to have been in advanced talks with some other club. Because this isn't even the transfer window where you have some kind of break. This is just randomly in the middle of the season. I don't even know who's going to be coaching them this weekend, because I don't think they have one yet.
They're in pretty close talks with somebody.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That went into this, I think, because they gave them 2 weeks.
But clearly they must be in advanced talks. The front runner that everyone's talking about is
Sir Alex.
He's coming out of retirement to coach the other
What
Reds.
Would you do if he comes to Liverpool?
God.
So Klopp is a big name. I mean, he's retired.
I mean, everyone is wondering where his next move is going to be. And Liverpool would be very, very intriguing for me to see him at Liverpool. I think it's a team that suits his style. It's kind of that,
he's attacking. He's high press and attacking. And everybody, let's be honest, everybody kind of wants that, because everybody wants to see a team that scores goals.
Scores goals and allows goals.
Yeah. I mean, even though Mourinho was good defensively, people criticized him for the way his teams looked, even though he won ridiculous amounts. So everybody wants a Klopp type.
Yeah.
The truth is, though, even if a coach like him comes in, their squad still is not very deep. Brendan Rodgers spent a ton of money.
They have the attacking
players,
though.
Sturridge.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, too. They just sacked him, right? I mean, Benteke is injured. Yeah, they just got Sturridge back like a few games ago. They really haven't. Jordan Henderson's been out. He's their new captain. He's been gone. I mean, they really haven't been healthy. And some of their guys, Danny Ings was on what team last year? Like Burnley? They got like relegated, didn't they?
I thought he was on West Ham last year, no?
No, I'm pretty sure he was on Burnley.
Clearly, Danny Ings is not.
Danny Ings is not a starter.
Did he score this weekend?
He did score.
I think he did, but that's not the point.
Yeah, I got it.
The point is
he's
like,
not the quality.
Some of these guys, I mean, if you're going to buy players from these, like, you know, middle of the bottom table teams or teams that get relegated, promoted, you have to buy a young guy who's got potential to become bigger.
It's Burnley.
Some of these teams, Liverpool, Danny Ings. You're buying Danny Ings for a striker who I'm almost 99% he came from Burnley.
I mean, who are they going to replace?
He's mid to late 20s. He's not going to be a world-class striker at Liverpool. Why are you signing him?
Who's going to replace Suarez?
There are
plenty of options they could have gone after.
There are options.
I mean, there are
options
they could have gone. They have money.
I mean,
Benzema,
almost,
he was rumored to go to Arsenal. I mean, there's guys where if they want it, Liverpool needs to buy players in order to become a better team. The guys they have now are not good enough. You're not going to get to top four with Danny Ings and some of these other clowns.
The issue is that they just always have injuries up top.
Well, yeah. I mean, this year they've had some
injuries. But it's also the same thing. I mean, going on to what you're saying, the problem is, I mean, I don't want to sound like discriminatory, but I am. Like, England is not very good, like the English teams. So Liverpool, like, bought out Southampton. They bought a lot of English players. Like, yeah. These guys just aren't, like, Ricky Lambert hasn't worked out.
They bought Ricky Lambert, who was 30 plus. Yeah. I mean, what did they think that was going to happen?
Like, the thing
he didn't
is,
even play.
All these guys that they bought at Southampton, I know they did well, but honestly, the best players are abroad. With Klopp, you get that, you know, you get that kind of feel. Yeah. I mean, and honestly, there are so many people from Dortmund he could probably poach. Royce is still there. Dortmund is still ridiculous. If he poaches people from around the world, they could start making, but they still got to spend money. And Liverpool, I mean, I don't know, the Fenway squad, they're probably sick.
I mean, I think that's
money.
A consideration of picking Klopp up, though, is the network that he has and the reach in Germany.
So clearly Klopp is the big name, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more soon, but Mourinho losing consistently. I feel like he's in the hot seat. But so my question to you guys, say you're Klopp and you see it's getting even worse with Chelsea. However, Chelsea clearly has a better squad than Liverpool. Would you ever think about waiting to see what happens with Mourinho and possibly going to Chelsea instead of Liverpool? Because Liverpool, they're a big name club, but they haven't done well in a while. I don't even think there are that many players who want to go to Liverpool. You know what I mean? Going to Chelsea, though, that's still a really good place to go.
Yeah, I mean, I'd want to know what his short list is. So, I mean, he clearly has a few teams, and I'm sure he's either wants to coach or he's planning on them.
Milan?
Liverpool, Chelsea. I think there's a couple of big clubs that are going to be going through some coaching changes.
Not to say you don't have big pressure, but I think there's less pressure at Liverpool than Chelsea to win the title right away.
Right now, yeah.
Probably, but the other thing is Liverpool still has that fan base where everybody knows how legendary the club is.
But I also think
they haven't done anything.
Liverpool is more a squad that you can come into and shift. Like, I think if he went and cleared the bench at Liverpool, it's much easier to do than trying to clear some of the names at Chelsea who have been there.
But he doesn't need to clear the names.
But also, here's the other thing too. Chelsea, where can they go? You can't get any lower than they are. So if he gets there, Chelsea's stacked. I mean, how long can they realistically stay this far down?
No,
if you were to take over at Chelsea and they start winning even a few games, they're like, Klopp. And their roster is pretty good.
But Liverpool's not really that much better off right now. Liverpool, has four more points than
Chelsea. The difference
Chelsea
is Chelsea, nobody has any idea why the squad is doing as poorly as it. You could keep the squad win the league. And then all of a sudden you look like some magician who...
Exactly. That's what I think would happen if he went to Chelsea. I think Liverpool would still be a really interesting fit with all the different guys he just bought, his style, the guys they have, and them not doing so well the past few years. I think he would definitely give him a boost to get better. So I think it'd be interesting. I think they really, who else are they going to get?
I still think the tough thing is, the best strikers in the world are places where they want to be at. Like, whatever. Suarez isn't going to come back. Neymar, whatever. Lewandowski and Muller are absurd. Yeah. But why would you ever leave Munich?
Fernando Torres is available.
Madrid, you think about... I think Bale is a big question mark. Because the thing is, I think Bale really wants to prove himself in Madrid. He hasn't done as well, but he also hasn't totally had the support, and fans have been off and on.
He's got to get out of there.
Racist goes a little too far, but they're kind of like they want to support their Spanish players, and even though Ronaldo's Portuguese, like he's Ronaldo. So Bale is that question mark. Benzema, I think he's underappreciated sometimes.
It's because of Ronaldo. I mean, Bale, the reason why I think Bale isn't appreciated as much is because Ronaldo's there. I mean, same thing with Benzema. Benzema scores a lot of goals for them, he's just under the radar because of Ronaldo. Half their players are, and that's why I think Bale would be better off going somewhere and just dominating a team.
But so my point is, if you have all the money in the world, even all the money in the world, where are you getting your striker from? De Bruyne could have been a big player, but he was bought. Yeah. Like, what are you going to buy? Rooney? Like, who can you... Pogba is a big one, but he's still a midfielder, and he's not a striker.
But he's very attack-minded.
He is attack-minded.
And I think he's the type of player that Liverpool would want to get.
Everybody wants him, though. And I'm not even saying, like, I've heard we were in advanced talks with him. The other thing is you always have to think, where does a player want to go? And it helped a lot that we won so many titles last year. Players want to go there. You see places like
but does he want to go to Spain?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, learning another language. I mean, if you... There's the other thought of you can be the player that brings Liverpool back.
Right.
I mean, Suarez.
Well, that's the thing. So if you have Klopp coming in, you know, you have a name like Klopp coming in, you have him approaching Pogba saying, look, we're going to build a squad around you that's going to restore, you know, faith back in Liverpool. I think that's very intriguing.
You're totally right.
I think it'll be a great fit.
So anyway, before we get to the break, I also just want to add in that Sunderland also fired their coach this week. They have yet to win a game this year. Newcastle hasn't won a game this year, so they're both only on 3 points. So just wanted to throw that in there.
Klopp. So Chelsea's safe.
Klopp
and Sunderland.
Ancelotti wants to come back.
Nice.
Okay, so that does it for all the scores and some of the news. We will catch you after the break.
Kiss the Crest is part of the Commentist Network, which is a collection of great podcasts covering a wide range of topics, from tech news to music to Dungeons and Dragons to veganism and positive living. For more information about Kiss the Crest or to check out our other great shows, go to thecommentist.com.
Okay, welcome back. So right now we're going to do our topic of the day, which... we're going to talk about Mourinho's legacy. So clearly, for those who don't know, Mourinho wins a lot. When he was
except for this season. He has 8 league titles, and he's got 2 Champions League and the bigger point is
other cups. They're not just all in the same league at the same team. He's won at Porto. He won Champs League at Porto, which is a huge achievement in itself. He won with Chelsea. He won with Inter, and he won a Champs League at Inter, and he's won a title at Madrid, and now he's back to Chelsea, and he won a title last year. So this guy,
he's been around.
He's been around, and he's clearly one of the best. I mean, it's hard to not put him in one of the best categories.
He has 3 trebles, too,
I mean, it's insane.
Porto, but
So he's clearly he knows how to win at clubs, but the problem that always happens is that he kind of blows up his teams. He does really well in the beginning, and he has never lasted more than 3 years at a club.
That's true.
Now, maybe early on, maybe at Porto is a little bit different, I'm not sure, but at Chelsea, he didn't leave on good terms with Abramovich.
Can I just say, though, so 06-07, when he left, he was second in the league and won the FA Cup and the League Cup too, the Carling Cup.
It's ridiculous. So he's still winning.
So it's not like he didn't win anything. So, it's not like he finished in 10th.
So the thing is, it's not like he never does poorly, but he has problems in the dressing room or with management. Something he has a problem with. Inter.
It goes without saying, there's always news around him.
Yeah.
And his comments.
And he is that kind of almost polemic kind of character who riles people up, but. From what I hear, a lot of his former players, they will literally do anything for him. They love him a lot. And I don't mean this jokingly. Like, they really will do anything for him. I remember, is it Essien who, like, followed him around just because if Mourinho calls him, he'll
stalked
come.
Him.
Yeah. At Madrid, though, same thing happened. I mean, he was able to win the title from one of our best squads of all time. And so that was a big win.
So
he didn't do as well as he could.
Interestingly enough, his... you know, quote unquote worst stint was the 3 years at Madrid, because he only won three titles over one a year, right? So he won the cup the first year and finished second. He won the league the second year, and then he finished in second the third year and won the Super Cup.
So, yeah, that shows how good he is. But the problem in Madrid is the press hated him, and he hated the press, which happens, but the English press was a little bit more loving towards him. The bigger problem is...
He knows how to play the English press.
Yeah, yeah.
he's a magician at... Well, we talked just about this avoiding. Before, yeah. And Sean, you brought up this point many times, but he's very good at deflecting blame away from the players,
He knows how to do it so well. And he knows always how to be in the press and knows, but the problem he had there was he messed up some of the core players. Ramos was against him. Casillas was against him. Some of these really important players that were not getting along with him. That was a big deal. Ancelotti was brought in to be literally the anti-Mourinho. He was the nice guy. He'll do whatever you say. He comes back to Chelsea. Everybody's super excited. The special one's back. Does well, but loses it at the end of the year, his first year. Second year, they just run away with
finished
it.
Third.
Finished admittedly, third. They did not do that well in Champions League, but people are like, you're doing so well in the league. Who cares?
Right.
Third year.
So they won the League Cup also that year.
Third year. This is just, I mean, you could even argue the one cup that they had at the beginning of this year, they lost. Just terrible.
So I want to go back to one of the comments you made. I know we've talked about this a lot, and it's kind of a common critique of Mourinho that he blows up teams, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. And I was going back and looking at how teams did two years after he left, right? So look at Chelsea, right? The year after he left, they finished in third, which I guess they didn't win. And the following year after that, they won the title. So, you know, they won 2 years after. So it's not like he came into a team and they were desperate.
Yeah,
after,
they weren't
right?
done. Yeah.
So look at Inter's a little bit different though. So they won with him and then finished second the year after. And then kind of went on this huge decline afterwards. They finished sixth, and then I think it was like seventh or eighth, something like that. And then last year, they obviously didn't finish that high either. So whether that's to say that's, you know, the aftermath of him leaving or not, you know, it is what it is. Madrid, they finished third the year after he left, but they did end up winning Champions League under Ancelotti.
Which is huge, yeah.
So, you know, so I think it's, it goes back to the club culture, right? So in when he's leaving... Not to say that teams don't still perform well, but what's the culture at the club like?
Yeah, and he causes problems, and people have to bring in fixer-uppers because you start messing with that. I think the bigger thing about it blowing up, so this is the whole thing, he's never stayed more than 3 years because it just becomes untenable. And honestly, I don't think anyone suspected this year to happen like it did. I think everybody expected Chelsea to be on top again.
And it's interesting.
This year is just unbelievable.
It's interesting that he left... I forget the circumstances. I guess it was to go to Madrid because he left Inter after winning back-to-back leagues and winning the treble, including the cup and the Champions League in 9-10.
I mean, the truth is...
And the fact that he won the Champions League with Inter that year was incredible.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I guess it was
that
just
one might
for
be,
bigger fit. Like, he wanted to go to Madrid.
I mean, no one turns down the Madrid job. It's just such a big job. Obviously, you want to do it. So I guess Inter wasn't as bad, but Chelsea wasn't, Madrid wasn't, like, he didn't end off well. And this clearly, I mean, he doesn't sound like himself at all. I've never seen a team do, and this, you made this point, they never, in his third year, he never did that badly, but he ended up just leaving for one reason or another. This year, I mean, this is beyond bad. This is terrible. His players don't seem like they're playing for him, which is the one thing he always seemed to do.
Yeah, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but his interviews with the press are much different.
Yeah.
You know, he just seems deflated. He's not making his witty comments like he normally is. He's not deflecting blame, really. He's just
too much on the refs. Yeah. Like, but so to you guys, how does this affect his legacy?
I don't think it affects it that much.
We should mention that Dave is Portuguese. And
I'm Portuguese.
Well.
Portuguese power. no, I don't think it affects it that much. I mean, like you said, he's done this at every club. So if he's done this at every club before this one, what makes it any different now? I mean, everyone kind of... We didn't expect it, but, I mean, it's going to happen eventually. And he's got a track record of it, so eventually it's going to happen. I'm more interested at... I mean, he's still relatively young. I'm more interested to see where he would go next or what he would do next. That's what I'm more interested.
Do you ever see him coaching the Portuguese team? Or do you think they're not big enough for him?
We talked, me and Manny talked about it a little bit. He's a landlord. We talked about it because he's Portuguese too. I think
he hates Mourinho.
I think if he does, it'll be like right near, not near the end, closer to the end of his career. I want to see where he would go next. Because, I mean, where do you guys think he would go next? I don't think he'll stay in England.
I don't know, because the thing is,
Not going to go to Madrid or Barcelona.
Well, so here's the thing. You were saying how this doesn't really affect his legacy because he's done it before. I think it's at the point where it's happened so consistently that teams are going to start second-guessing. Clearly, they're like, clearly we can win with Mourinho, but is it worth what happens after? And Mourinho won't go to like a crappy team to build him up, I don't think. He's always...
No. You need money. He goes to clubs with deep pockets. Think he'll go to Milan? Well, with Mr. B coming in, we got money now.
I don't know.
I don't think
he can't come back to Spain. I mean, Germany?
I don't think he would come to a mid-table team.
He wouldn't. I don't think so. And one thing I should say, I mean, this isn't the Mourinho show, but one thing he's very good at is buying players. Even though he always comes to teams that have strong squads, he buys players that end up being top players. Yeah. I'll say this. I disagree with you, Dave. I think when you look at the best coaches in the world or of all time, they're usually beloved. Alex Ferguson, he's literally... I don't think there's any coach ever who will ever be as untouchable as Alex Ferguson is. At Manchester United, he is a god.
I'm not going to compare him to him either.
But you look at him, Pep, even as Pep left, we still love him to no end. Yeah. And I think, honestly, Munich loves him.
He's still young. He's been at two clubs. Two best clubs in the past, you know,
But he's done well enough at them that he's built a team that's strong. I mean, obviously they have good players, but even with good players, you can mess up. But my point is, they still love Pep.
You can't compare him to Pep yet.
Well, no, I don't.
He's only been at two jobs.
Yeah.
He's won a Champions League with one team.
I know, but what I'm saying is when you look at clubs that love their coaches, that are the legendary, he's already a legend at Barcelona. No matter what, he's a legend.
Why did he leave again?
Because it was too stressful.
He wanted a break, yeah.
How would you compare somebody? It's too stressful to be winning Champs League and winning your league.
If you understand how much pressure there is,
but that's not an excuse to leave a club because it's too stressful. How many coaches have done that?
Sure there are a bunch of.
I mean, how many big name coaches have literally done that? Up until Klopp this year, which I don't think he left for the stress. I think he just wanted a year off.
Admittedly, I think he would coach at a team if he had the right situation.
Well, so let's compare.
Let's compare Mourinho to Ancelotti.
I only mention him because he's already a legend at Barcelona. Like I will say, as a Barca fan, I know he's considered a legend already.
Yeah, but
I'm just saying.
I don't think he's not at that level though. He's not at Mourinho level.
You think he's a legend throughout football?
I think Pep's teams could beat.
You're talking about
Bayern Munich, who has probably the deepest roster of all time, and you're talking about Barcelona, who also had one of the best teams. Mourinho won the Champions League with Porto and with Inter, with easily not the best teams in Europe those years.
But the difference is
Madrid, Chelsea, some
of the best players at Barcelona were there before him, and we did fine, but we weren't nearly at Pep's level. He brought
in specific players. You cannot compare. We can't go into this right now,
but I don't think people understand how much building a team and building a philosophy makes a team look what they are. This is why he's a legend. We wouldn't have been the team with another coach.
He's a legend at Barcelona.
I think people already love him. He's working on it.
Yes.
He's not there yet.
I guess he's not there yet. I think people love him enough.
Back up. So I think the easiest comparison to make is between Mourinho and Ancelotti right now. You're talking about two coaches who have gone to multiple teams, have won leagues and Champions Leagues at multiple places. So Ancelotti has won the Champs League and the league at Milan. He won the Premier League with Chelsea. He won La Liga with PSG. He didn't win Liga with PSG. He didn't win La Liga, though, yeah. I don't think. With
I mean,
Madrid.
He was only
but
there for
did,
a short period of time.
But he did win Champs League.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, with the length of time that they coached and the types of teams and coaching at different countries. I think that's the easiest comparison to make.
You're right. I should have brought up Pep. But honestly, everybody loves Ancelotti where he was.
I honestly think...
There's a big difference between the two teams. Hold on. Right. So there's a big difference between the two of them in that Mourinho has one style that's very, very much different from
Ancelotti.
Grinding
out wins.
Yes. And Ancelotti is very, like, he's very positive, very upbeat about his teams, like, always seems to praise them. Like, people rally behind him for much different reasons other than, you know, kind of a dictator role that people get behind that Mourinho had.
Except for management, nobody wanted Ancelotti to leave. Sure, he didn't do as well as they had hoped, even though, I mean, he brought La Decima. Like, that's huge. But still, they want to win titles. But the thing is, clearly, everybody still wanted him. Ronaldo supported him. Other people supported him. Like, he is a beloved manager. And Milan?
Yeah.
If he came back?
Oh, he's a legend. He's Pep to us. I mean...
Yeah.
No, I mean, outside of Alex Ferguson and... Sir Alex Ferguson, and
yeah, but you can't.
You know, maybe Louis and maybe Ancelotti. I honestly think Jose Mourinho is probably top three all time in terms of winning titles, which is honestly what's the goal of being a coach.
Yeah, that's what it's always been. It's
and like, clearly, who's done that besides him?
I
more
think,
who's done that more?
But I'd argue the same thing about Ferguson though, in that he's only done it at one club.
Right, but
granted, he did it a ton of times.
Right, right. So I mean, Mourinho's done it at more than one club.
But how many Champs Leagues did he have? One,
three. Ferguson? They won all their Champs Leagues at, or not all of them, but they won.
Yeah, I mean,
they
won
in like 98.
Yeah, he's been there.
Oh, that's right. That's
in,
right. I forgot about that.
But honestly,
they always lost versus us though.
Mourinho. I honestly don't think there's too much discussion.
Well,
in terms
it's interesting
because
I can't stand Mourinho. I have no respect for him. Like I think
Jesus.
No.
That's rough,
well,
man.
No, but his
that's
style.
Rough.
I have no
Mourinho
respect.
Take
for
it
his
back.
Style. No. I have
Mourinho
no respect.
No respect.
But
what?
No, that's not what I said.
You just said that.
No. But he
his
engenders,
style.
He's
his style of coaching, because I do think he goes into clubs and he does have a lasting negative effect once he leaves. Right.
Yeah.
But I cannot argue with the fact that he's a phenomenal manager when he is at clubs with the teams that he has and bringing them to win games.
I think another
it's
thing
not the
bring
most
up,
attractive yeah. thing, but he wins titles.
When did Ancelotti win champs with what years was he at Milan?
So he won Champs League in 2002-03 and 2006-07.
So okay, so one difference too. Sir Alex Ferguson, I mean, obviously he's clearly the best Man U manager ever, but he coached some of the best Man U teams of all time. Ancelotti, same thing. I don't know if Mourinho ever coached the best at his club.
The difference is, though, is that Ferguson built that team.
Sure. Because Ferguson, I'm putting him in a different... Like, he's crazy. The things he did, it's just absurd, honestly. Ferguson, I'm, like, putting in his own section. But the thing is... I don't know if any
He has two Champs Leagues.
Mourinho's teams... Oh, I thought he
was... 98, 99, 07, 08.
So Mourinho's teams have always ground out wins, but I don't know if there's any team you point to as being the greatest Chelsea side of all time. Maybe. Madrid. I mean, just having Ronaldo puts it up there, but I don't know if it was the greatest. Maybe, because they had a really solid squad, but...
Right, but he didn't win Champs League with them.
Yeah. And so that's my point. Like,
he got to the semifinal.
Is it the best of the club that's ever been there? I think. By the way, I think that's one thing that pushes
Pep up. What
he
does,
because he was the best.
Is he takes teams that you do not expect to win, and he makes them win.
He goes into clubs that are pretty big.
Right.
But
why wouldn't you want someone like him to come into your team?
But when
why wouldn't you want him to be your coach?
Because he. So when you talk, like, take Madrid. Madrid is so big they can choose anyone. Why would you want the guy who's going to, you know, after a couple of years, you probably can't keep his long term.
Because you're going to
Madrid's
win a
clearly
title.
Clearly short sighted.
I think the reason
there's no way
they
had no reason. They had no reason
to
get rid of Ancelotti. They had no reason to get Ancelotti.
Yeah, there's that.
Because Ancelotti did really well at that club, but since he got second place, they got rid of him.
But the thing is, so you're saying he's only.
Do you want a 3-year coach?
If it's going to win me a title, yes.
If he's
going to
win you one title,
you're acting like
one title at Chelsea.
In three years, that's completely fine. Man U hasn't won one since what?
Well, Chelsea
seven?
Has had one of the deepest squads.
He won three at Chelsea.
What?
The first stint he had, he won two
out
of 3 years.
The thing is...
I'm talking about right now. So they had a really solid squad. Mourinho came in and he was a savior. He should have won the first year, no doubt. He should have won the first year.
Why do you think he has that nickname?
The special one?
Yeah.
Because of the way he talks.
Or the other one that you just said.
I mean,
because he wins titles.
Savior? Sure. Oh, he has that?
If you were guaranteed, and this is pretty much what he is, if you were guaranteed a title, whether it's league, Champs League, Europa League, if you were guaranteed a title within 3 years.
I disagree. I wouldn't.
I would rather take
Madrid, Barcelona, Bayern.
I would much rather take Ancelotti with a 5-year plan than Madrid with a 3.
He's running Chelsea's name through the mud. If you want respect, he's losing respect. If when Barca was in their rut, I would
so,
not.
So, I mean, when he leaves, makes a big thing when he leaves, but I mean, honestly, not too many coaches don't.
What are you talking about?
Rodgers has been there for how long, and he hasn't done anything.
The difference is he causes splits. Like at Madrid, Casillas was the most he was their Xavi. He was the most important player. He was the core person in the Spanish team, and he caused that rift.
He got him to go to Porto. What's wrong with that?
But the point is, Mourinho does things to teams that you just he. Mentally, he changes teams and he makes everything negative. And I think if you can find somebody else to win with, I would.
The problem is a lot of times you can't find anyone.
I don't know. You said, we'll see what happens. I don't know where he's going to go next.
Look at plenty of other clubs. Look at Liverpool.
But you also have to keep in mind.
At Arsenal. Would you rather have Arsenal?
Inter wasn't a bad team. Madrid is freaking Madrid. Admittedly, we had a great team at the time. Chelsea is Porto. Not a bad team. I'm not saying nobody could win with him, but he won with strong squads as well.
Yeah, but now
everybody tries.
Yeah, but he made them into the strongest
squad. To a degree.
Well, no, he had a lot of money. He had a lot
Chelsea
of money.
And Madrid.
It's not like Pep. Okay, it's not like Pep, Madrid, and he just went to the team that had the biggest bench possible.
Pep built Barcelona.
No, that's false. Pep went to Barcelona.
That's another conversation.
Let's talk about this. No, Pep went to Barcelona when they already had
Alves. Bring back PK. Bring back Valdez.
They were there. What are you talking about?
He brought them back. He bought them.
PK has been at Barcelona since Man U.
And
that was a long time ago.
He brought them back.
That's false.
And he brought a philosophy to Barcelona.
The core Barcelona fans, Xavi, Iniesta, PK, Puyol were all at Barcelona, well established before Pep.
Guess what? If Tata Martino were there, they wouldn't have done that. If even
When did Pep come in?
Shoot, I actually don't remember.
Because
someone who's 08? On his all the time.
PK was a
long time ago
on United from 2004 to 2008.
Long time ago.
2004 to 2008.
And when
Pep
was Pep in Barcelona?
In 2008. He didn't. I'm pretty sure he didn't come in 2007. He bought. Busquets was a kid. He even bringing youth from there. We brought all youth. My point is, he brought a philosophy, and people think
maybe a coaching
philosophy.
He
started in 2008. Yeah.
So people think it was just a deep squad. He brought a philosophy that we did not have. We had some of it, and people think that. Don't get me wrong. Having Messi helps a bit, but the thing is. He had a deep squad because he built them into an incredibly strong team. I honestly think the Munich team right now could be.
I'm calling it. All right, that's enough of this. Next week we could talk about this next week.
We'll talk about Pep next week. We'll talk about Pep and how he's not.
Yeah. So
anyway, in my opinion, his luster has been tarnished a bit, especially I think because the degree of this Chelsea
team. I don't think it's yet.
It's never been this bad.
It's going to depend where they finish when he leaves. If they fired him now, yes, absolutely, because I don't think he's been fired from a job.
Yeah.
He stuck through this and ended up getting them back into fourth place,
which is
Champions League spot,
very, very possible.
Yeah, I mean,
who knows?
You're talking about
lost everything.
You're right.
Every week.
But the way the English league is going on this year, if you win 4 or 5 straight games, they're going to be in the top 6.
Well, and I will say one other thing. We see this now when they go to the history books. Nobody's going to read this. They're just going to see all the titles.
Which is why his legacy is entrenched.
I mean, I will not at all say that he's a bad coach. No. Clearly, he's still one of the best. But I think it says a big thing about it when you...
We'll have to get him on the show to send me this.
Like, if I could have a Ferguson, a Klopp, a Pep, an Ancelotti, any of them, I don't think I would take Mourinho over.
Mourinho over Pep. calling it right now.
Good call, Rob. Well, okay. Good call.
So you, so what do you think, Rob? Did it tarnish his reputation?
No, I, like I said, I think it's going to depend where it finishes. Because at the end of the day, if you're looking at a table and saying, where did the team finish at the end of a given year, right? If he can get the team back up into third or fourth, which, you know, is possible before he gets fired or leaves the club. And that's actually the other thing, too. If he gets to the end of the season and leaves the club, it's much different than him getting fired in this season.
Which I can't imagine them firing him. Like, it's Mourinho.
I think they already said, Mourinho. I'm pretty sure they already said they weren't going to.
Well, the other big thing is has a massive contract, a $50 million contract or a pound that he signed last year. Yeah. So if they fire him, they got to pay it out. Yeah. So that's a big deal. I mean,
he won Champs League. He won the league.
I'm not saying he's a bad coach. He's clearly one of the best coaches.
And what happens too, sometimes the year after you win, I mean, you think you're top dog, you don't have to play as hard, you know, you're the best team. And sometimes it could
give falls into that.
No, but the team. I mean, the team.
But this team is.
They didn't add anybody really.
But they had.
They thought they were the best. They didn't add anybody. They off to a bad start. In January, they're probably signing a few guys, and they'll be top four.
Should be able to.
They're gonna buy. They're gonna buy Vardy.
Quick thing. Quick thing.
Liverpool buy Vardy.
What's the other guy's name? Mahrez.
Mahrez was actually rumored to go to Spain, like Madrid, I think.
I will put $5. Mahrez goes to Chelsea in January.
No. A quick thing. We won't go into it, but this is a good example of how you say just because you have a deep squad does not mean that you can just win titles. You need a coach that can pull them together. Sure. Their squad is still absurd. They still have Diego Costa, Fabregas, Hazard. Their back line is ridiculous. They have Courtois. Yet they are one of the
Courtois,
worst teams.
Courtois, not to mention, I'm sure you guys realize that, has been out pretty much since the start of the season.
It doesn't matter. Their back line is still strong. Terry's old. There's no reason.
Terry hasn't even been playing, really.
Doing this poorly. They're one of the worst teams in the Premier League right now. I think, don't they have a negative goal difference? Like
They're not in the relegation.
Just because you have a deep squad does not mean you're going to win titles. Because this is what could potentially happen.
They're 4 points out of the relegation zone. But, I mean, they have 8 points. Out of
eight
fourth,
points.
Dude, they're 7 points out of fourth place.
They have 8 points.
Well, and guess who's in fourth place? Guess who's in fourth place? Crystal Palace.
You go on a run of four or five straight wins, and they're going to be
in the top
six.
When it happens, we'll talk about
it. That's what I mean. All right, so anyway, we got internationals coming up. The highlight
to watch.
The big game is definitely Mexico-US, which is always fun to watch. I will say Mexico hasn't had a strong squad in a while. No. It's been since 2011 since Mexico managed to win.
I will make sure Rob and Sean especially watch this game.
Yeah. And I will say, so...
why would you think I would?
Rob, I figured you would. But Sean, on the other hand, I don't know.
Dude, I don't know.
Come on, Sean.
I don't know.
Just because Messi and all your Barcelona guys.
I always get behind the
U.S.
national team.
What if Pep was the U.S. national coach?
Then I would be the best, biggest fan. I want to get behind the U.S. team. I always do. I cheer for them. But it's just, I don't know enough of the players because so many of them play in the MLS. I just don't watch. But we should also mention there aren't really any good matchups, but it is European qualifiers again.
It's coming towards
it's
the
important.
Tail end of European qualifiers.
Yeah, so this is, and there are some World Cup qualifiers too. So there are definitely games on this weekend, but I don't think they're as exciting.
No real exciting.
We'll keep you up to date nonetheless.
So that'll do it for this week. Yeah. This is an exciting, it went a little bit long, but it was fun. So we will be on air every week. This is Kiss the Crest. We're the weekly podcast. You can check us out on thecommentist.com, where we have a lot of other cool podcasts that none of them are about football, but they're about a lot of
bearded vegans.
Bearded vegans. Roll the hill.
So if you can't check us out, go on iTunes. If you can, please rate and subscribe. Leave a comment if you want to ask us.
Now.
If you want us to yell more, yell less.
Yep.
Talk about Mourinho. Do whatever you want.
Yep.
But we hope to see you next week.
Thanks.